going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post. Greenberg, what's up, dude? How are you?
I'm doing super. How are you guys doing?
We are good, brother. We are good. I'm in full draft mode. We got Caps playoff mode. We got a lot of modes going on. What mode are you in?
I am in NFL draft mode and on deck Kentucky Derby mode.
No Caps for you.
It's early in the playoffs. I usually don't get involved until they're a little bit deeper.
What'd you think of them the other night? I assume you still are watching. You're just locking in your mental capacities elsewhere.
Yeah, I'm just looking at my writing assignments. I thought they did okay. I mean, it was great that they came away with a win. They didn't look like they were playing their best hockey, and then one of the greatest players in hockey history decided to, do his thing and ended up winning it in overtime. I think that's great. I think that that's a good win for them. And, a lot of people I've heard are nervous going into the playoffs, but that's the type of win that they can manufacture. I mean, the best player is the best player in Alex Ovechkin. And even if the start is rough, I don't think that you could ever count them out of a game like that. And they've shown they can win 10-1, 1-0. I mean, this is a versatile team. I think that it was a good win, and I have high expectations for them this playoff.
But don't you think, Neil, they have to get better because this is such a young team? Yes, I mean, the Canadiens, they can play. They're fast, but they're young. If they get against a more experienced team, that could be a problem.
Yeah, I think Montreal is too young to know how good or not good they are, if that makes sense. I mean, we've seen young teams, they just play, right? Like they don't know what they don't know yet because they haven't experienced the playoffs in mass in terms of, the roster. But yeah, I mean, they're deep with Caulfield and Suzuki, Brendan Gallagher, Laine. I mean, these guys can play. I mean, they got 12 double-digit goal scorers on that team. So you have to be, you have to be mindful of any line that's on the ice. But I do think the experience is going to prevail. Goaltending for Washington is probably the one red flag in this playoff series. But, again, being able to overcome some adversity in game one, get themselves back into playoff mode after, what looked to be like, this is the wrong choice of words, but kind of like a letdown after Ovechkin got the record. I think everyone kind of was breathing a sigh of relief and, just getting ready for the playoff run.
Yeah, I think you're right that they had the record. Didn't mess anything up, obviously. It's an incredible record. But yeah. I think they got away from kind of what they do really well for a little period there to just get it over with.
I think they admitted that. One of the players said that.
Carberry said it too. And I think everybody was on board with it, and now they're all kind of happy to move forward. And I think that is what we're seeing, and they're kind of working it through. I also think Ovi's their best player, and to your point, he played like it. And that's a good thing. And people are like, oh, that's all their offense. So what? You know what I mean? Like,
hadn't been all year, though.
Right. maybe you get Protus back. A lot can happen there. I do, people will yell at me about this, and you can old takes expose me for this. I think they win this one. The next series, I will have some concerns, but I think they beat Montreal, whether it's five or six. I don't know. We'll see. But do you feel roughly the same?
Yeah, I'm not necessarily worried about this matchup. I think that they should be fine. The next matchup, we'll see. I disagree with people that say that it's only Alex Ovechkin. I mean, Tom Wilson, 30-goal scorer.
Yep.
You know, you have Dylan Strome. You have Connor McMichael. They get offense from the blue line. They're deep down the center. You know, even though Protus injury, I still think that they're deep down the center, deep enough. So I think that they have a lot of ways that they can get stuff done. The goaltending, you know, like most playoff series, is going to be a large part of it. If they can, you know, keep the pucks out of the net, they're gonna do well. That's been a little bit of concern, but overall, yes, I do expect them to move on from this matchup.
What's most important for them to get a W tonight?
Fast start. They got to show that the slow start was a fluke. I mean, you're not going to win games with slow starts. It's too easy to fall behind. It's too easy for the other team to kind of get into the defensive shell. Like you mentioned with Montreal, they're younger, they're quick, they're deep, they're able to roll some lines. So I would say a fast start is going to be crucial.
Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude is the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. You can give Greenberg a follow at @ngreenberg on X and Instagram. Check out all of his work for the Washington Post. All right. You tweeted something out at N. Greenberg that I thought was pretty damn interesting. Help me understand this correlation of 1.0 means a perfect relationship and the winning percentage as it's correlated to passing offense.
NFL. What they're looking at is how efficient is your passing offense, meaning how good are they at getting yardage via the pass, and they're looking at how a team, you know, those teams and how many games that they win in terms of winning percentage. So the better, and this shouldn't surprise anybody, the better the passing offense's efficiency, the more games we can expect the team to be won. And when you see something that says, you know, 0.72, what that's saying is 72% of the win percentage can be explained by a team's passing offense. Like, that's the basic TLDR version of it. And that makes a lot of sense, right? We've talked about how the quarterback's the most important player on the field. We've argued that the second most important is probably the edge rusher that can stop the passer from doing what he wants to do. Of course, it's not that simple, but that's what this is saying. Now, there's a lot of things that this doesn't capture, right? We're only looking at two data points and how they correlate. Obviously, there's a lot more nuance, but the overall factor is that passing's important, and if you have a good passing game, you can overcome a lot of inefficiencies, which, you know, we saw that with Washington this year, right? I mean, Washington was very, very good passing the ball, very efficient, historically efficient at one point, and even though the defense wasn't great, they were still able to win 12 games and end their season in the NFC Conference Championship.
Mm-hmm. So with that said, now one thing I found quite interesting, you made me aware of this from a fellow named Tej Seth, who does analytics for football. And he said the correlation between each component and winning percentage since 2019, passing offense 0.72. So that's his... The closest you're getting to a 1.0 winning percentage, winning all your games, is with the best passing offense. Pass defense is next, but it's a significant drop-off, 0.54. Rushing offense, 0.48. Rushing defense, 0.24. Based on that, and you can argue, we can argue a million things. I think rule changes have dramatically impacted the importance of passing offense. And I'm not necessarily saying that's good. I'm just saying that that's a fact. based on that, would the numbers, at least Greenberg, suggest go heavy on offense in the draft?
Yeah, I think what this says is defense doesn't win as many championships as perhaps it used to. So getting your passing offense in a good spot can overcome a lot of other inefficiencies. So if you're looking for the draft, if you already have your quarterback, that means getting him a playmaker and wide receiver, protecting him via the offensive line, maybe getting some help in the running game, et cetera, to help that passing offense. So it really depends on what the needs are. But I think, you know, that we've seen, the leaning towards, obviously, quarterbacks at the top. We've seen, you know, offensive tackles go very high. We're looking at a dual-way player in Travis Hunter, who plays wide receiver, expected to go high. Will Campbell, offensive tackle, expected to go high. Ashton Jeanty, a running back, which can help the passing game, go high. So this is, more than half the top 10 picks are going to be offensive-leaning players, mostly helping the passing offense. So I think that's we're already kind of seeing coaches, front offices buy into this, even if they're not explicitly looking at that, correlation that we are, in our houses on our, Excel spreadsheets.
But let me ask you a question, though, Neil, and, just being a contrarian. A defense is dominant and give the offense great field position, which allowed them now to go through their whole playbook. You put another defense at harm, and they do that. Does any of the defense play into those numbers, or is it just all offensive output?
No, without a doubt, and that's why it's not a one-to-one relationship.
Okay.
If it was a correlation of one, that would mean that passing offense explains all of a team's win percentage. But it can't possibly do that, right? Because you have a dozen men on the field. You have a bunch of different stuff that happens. It's a weird-shaped object that bounces around. So I wouldn't take this as gospel. And we don't know for certain, if the correlation is 0.72, if it's 0.8, if it's 0.6. We're just making some estimates here. I personally, wouldn't put too much stock into this. I felt more that I need to kind of explain what these numbers meant, because he didn't do that at all. And I think that's a mistake that we have in the analytical community, is not, explaining what we're looking at. But I think even more important is explaining, what we're missing in this number.
Okay.
But you're absolutely right. A good pass coverage in terms of cornerbacks can absolutely help the pass rush, because the passer is taking too much time to find his man, and it gives the defensive line more time to get in there. You get a guy that's an amazing edge rusher and that can, defeat double teams, then absolutely that's going to change the complexity of what's going on in terms of what you said, field position, three and outs, and those sort of things. They all encapsulate this. So I wouldn't put too much stock in it. I thought it was an interesting data point. It's not a surprise to those of us in the analytical community. I think he overreached a little bit trying to express, how important it is, because we know how important it is. But you need a supporting cast. You need players in the right position, in the right scheme, right coaching, et cetera, in order to truly take advantage of what this number is telling you.
Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here on the Rood Guest Hotline. Rood is the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. You can check out all of Greenberg's work for the Washington Post. Give him a follow at @ngreenberg.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
I know you like throwing a little money around, betting stuff. I know there's a lot of bets available with the NFL draft. Is there something you're interested in this for tomorrow night?
Well, I don't have draft props offered in Virginia.
Okay,
so I can't bet. One of the things I did like,
go across the bridge.
there's lots of bridges.
Yeah. One of the things that I did like was under 2.5 mm-hmm. quarterbacks taken. There was some plus money there early on. I think that's now the favorite minus some numbers. I think if you're going to try to make some money in this, I think you need to be able to do two things. One, you need to have some inside information, knowing who's going to take who, because this really is just an info-driven situation. Two, you got to do a lot of analysis on GMs and who they picked in the past, and any sort of any sort of clues you could pick up from that. I saw one that the Steelers have never picked a top 10 person without meeting with him first. I think the Browns are similar, so that's certainly something to monitor. But I think any value is going to be on Shedeur Sanders, because I've seen him anywhere from the third pick to a second round pick. So mm-hmm. if you're leaning some way with Sanders, I think that the value is there, because it's been moving so much on just rumors and innuendo that I don't think anybody knows anything. And I think if you have a lean, then that's probably where you can make some hay.
Well, dude, B and I were talking about this. I think it's important to reprogram your brain, perhaps sever it, to January 1st and just remember what guys looked like when they were playing football. Not all the stuff that's happened in the 4 months since, just how they looked when they were playing football. And when you watch Shedeur play football, say his last name was Smith, he's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, this is the silly season where I don't believe anybody what anybody says. You know, either if they're specific, I think that they're absolutely full of baloney. But most of the time, they're just vague, like, oh, you know, we're going to take the best player. We believe in our scouts. We have our board, and et cetera. You're going to hear a lot of, I can't believe he was still there type stuff.
Yeah.
You know, no one really knows anything. I mean, the whole point of this part of the year is to inflate your draft position so that hopefully someone overpays you to get a player that you didn't want anyway. That's why I think Sanders, with such a wide range of outcomes, you know, third pick to the second round, you know, there's some value somewhere. I mean, the books can't cover all that ground profitably. So if you have any sort of edge or you have any sort of lean, I think that's really where you're looking for, because no one really knows anything until, you know, after the draft is over.
Well, I'll ask a question here. What's the odds of Aaron Rodgers not even playing this year?
Pretty great.
I mean, cause, like, at this point, if I'm a team, I'm not waiting on him. I mean,
no, and it's a circus, right?
Yes.
Like, you have so many other things that you have to deal with, it seems, with him, whether it's going on TV shows or going into a dark cave. you know, like, we really don't know. And I think it's pretty evident that he's, you know, he's football old. He's on the downside of his career. I know we've said that before, but, you know, I think that at some point you have to believe that the aging curve is going to catch up with him. And I just don't think the juice is worth the squeeze there, personally. You know, how much production are you going to get from him compared to a journeyman? And then you add in all the extracurricular stuff that you may have to deal with. I personally just don't see it worthwhile for any team right now.
Yeah. Last one from me, Greenberg. What do you think of Jalen Milroe? I'm really, really curious where he goes and kind of what the plan is for a player that has unbelievable athletic tools but just is not an accurate passer.
Yeah, I think he's a tough one. You know, there's some that are starting to come out with flaws for him. Some people are saying he's going to go with the Browns. They're saying
that would be one of his flaws
ever.
Right there.
Yeah. You know, he's either the next Lamar Jackson or I don't know. I just think that those type of accolades are tough to thrust on a kid. You know, I do think that Cleveland's got to do something. And we've seen in the NFL, you know, especially lately here in town, what a legitimate dual threat quarterback can do for an organization, right? And that is turn them around at a sped up timetable. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that it's going to be it's interesting for him. Now, is he Lamar Jackson or is he like a Johnny Manziel? Like, you know, we're not going to know yet.
Yeah.
But I do think that he's a type of guy that you take a swing on because, as I said, if you're right and he's in the right spot and you're able to develop him, then, as we've seen, it could quickly turn the fortunes of your franchise around.
Totally.
Quarterbacks change everything. Washington has seen that up close and personal. Greenberg, in a few minutes here, we're going to open the phone lines up for potential trades. And me and B-Mitch are going to grade what people say for potential trades. Are there any trades you could see over the next 48, 72 hours you think could actually happen? Like, I'm hearing the Giants are going to flip. They're going to take Carter at 3 and then flip Kayvon Thibodeau to get the draft capital to take Jackson Dart late in the first. Is there anything like that you've heard that could make sense?
No, I would just bet on late picks trading back out of the first round to get into maybe a couple in the second round or something. I would certainly say that Washington is in that mix. You know, I think I am not completely enamored with this draft based on what I'm hearing. People aren't completely enamored with this draft. So if you can get some extra picks towards the end, that's probably makes sense. I don't think we're going to see as much movement as people are saying because I don't think there are enough quarterbacks to facilitate that. Most of the moves that we see are quarterback-driven. If we're only thinking, you know, two quarterbacks going to be taken in the first round, I just don't see much of an impetus for people to start moving around that much, that high, to make other stuff happen. But that's just me.
It's going to be interesting because quarterbacks tend to drive the movement. And after Cam Ward, a lot of questions about quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Neil, as always, brother, thank you for the time, man.
All right, Neil.
All right, love you guys. Talk
thank
to you soon.
That's it, man.
That's our guy, Neil Greenberg. Give him a follow at NGreenberg, joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. You heard me. We're going to open these phone lines up, 800-636-1067. Here's your chance. Give us your trades. Give us your best trade offer. I know somebody's going to say, you know, trade away Terry McLaurin for the number one overall pick. We're going to tell you you're wrong, but you get to say it. It's your opportunity. We'll come up with a few ourselves. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Don't miss your chance to bet on all the clutch shots and legendary performances with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel is the best place to find all your favorite player props, and now you can make a heads-up play with player performance trends. That means whether you want to bet on a player to score 30 points or put up a triple-double, you can check out the latest stats and see who's hot without leaving the app. Plus, after the game tips off, you can even combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win big. If you don't already have FanDuel, playoff time is the perfect time to join. You'll get started with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So visit FanDuel.com/Brian to join today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.